Also nur wir. Okay, so we left off last week. We had begin to discuss the Shita Satosis, the Baruch of Tesla Bays, and the Sech Tzach, but we can quickly look at it again. It's so startling, it's good to see it again inside. The Baruch of Tesla Bays. It's the four lines from the bottom Tesla. So the Kanvachi Echori, Tesla Bays. The Kanvachi Echori, the rebrought of the Rai is somewhat complicated, we'll leave out the details of the Rai right now. The Kanvachi Echori, Shamash Echomets for Pesach. The person leaves over chametz on Pesach, v'daito leva'aril, and he's planning on destroying the chametz. He's not such a bad guy; he's lazy right now. So he doesn't want to bother the first couple of days of Pesach with the chametz. So like third, fourth day chalamayin, he'll get rid of all the chametz. So the Ria is a startling statement: eino oiver ba'oseh shehiyah. That's not a violation of by Rabbi Motzei. And then again, he shows you why. But the Yosi, the whole story with the Meila, not for now. So let's skip down to the bottom one, the middle of the line. Tosfos is writing: why should this be so? The time of a shum delay rod nitachli essay, look out in a way, shum of all of us. So says Tosfos, that Bali Rabbi Emotzei is not just a lav in a vacuum, but if and when a person violates by Rabbi Emotzei, he's supposed to subsequently destroy the chametz. So it's what's called the lav nitachli essay. So says Tosfos, since the whole goal of the lav is, not the goal, but the ultimate result, the consequence of violating the lav is eventually you have to get rid of the chametz as an essay. So, Kolzban, that's on your radar screen. Eventually, you're planning on getting rid of the chametz sometime before Pesach is over. That's not going to be a violation of our Rabbi Motzei. It's a chiddush gadol from Tosfos. So, we pointed out last week that the Rambam clearly disagrees with this Tosfos, because the Rambam writes that it's possible for a person to be chayim malchus by Rabbi Motzei. Now, the Rambam concedes that 95% of the time it won't be true. If a person violates by Rabbi Motzei, it's usually going to be violated without a maaseh. We have a klal called lav she'em b'maisa em lo gin alav. So the guy just, let's say, he bought chametz last month, and he's got his pizza sitting in his freezer, he's got his schnapps sitting in his closet, he's got all his chametz sitting there. Comes Pesach and he does nothing, so he violates by Rabbi Motzei. But since it's violated b'shev al tas, it's violated without doing an action, he's going to technically get off from malchus. But im tum tzelom that he does an action, let's say he made chametz in Pesach, or let's say he bought chametz in Pesach, so the Rambam says, you will be chayav malchus. According to Tosfos, that's impossible. Because according to Tosfos, that every time by Rabbi Motzei is a lav nitachli essay, we have another rule of Maseches Machlokes, that you never chayav malchus for a lav nitachli essay. So it comes out we have two very, very different approaches in the Rishonim. What is the relationship, or lack thereof, between by Rabbi Motzei and Tashbis, so destroying chametz? According to Tosfos, it's a package deal. Don't violate by Rabbi Motzei, and if you do, then make sure to be besakened by doing the essay. And therefore, according to Tosfos, two things follow. Number one, there's no Isser by Rabbi Motzei if it's Amanas Delaro. And number two, there's never going to be Malchus. By definition, there cannot ever be Malchus for by Rabbi Motzei, because it's always a Nitachli essay. And the Rambam holds, are two different drashas, two different dinim. There's one prohibition of owning chametz, two prohibitions of owning chametz. And there's another mitzvah to destroy chametz. And the two, I don't want to say too dramatically, have nothing to do with each other, but Lamaisa, they're not really do with each other, according to the Rambam. The existence of the essay is not going to minimize the Isser. So what should it then be? What is this machlekes about? How come Tosfos understood by Rabbi Motzei is very much an itakli asef tashbisu, and the Rabbi Melvitz not itakli tashbisu? So at the very, very end of this year, or last week, we said that this machlekes, Tosfos and Rabbi, may very well touch upon something fundamental, something basic, about the very nature of what the mitzvah of tashbisu is all about. Really the ABCs of the positive mitzvah of getting rid of chametz. If we truly understand Tashbisu, then we can begin to understand the relationship of lack thereof to by Rabbi Motzei. So two different Gedolei Acharonim, from the leaders of the Lumdus in the Chavanish world, two Gedolei Acharonim have two different approaches to this Machlokes Taisa of the Rambam. The common denominator is that each one makes this Machlokes greater than his. Namely, that each one makes this Machlokes Taisa in the Rambam basic, fundamental, Yisoidus Dik. It permeates all of Maseches Pesachim. It's unlimited. It's the Yisoidus of everything. But each one does it in a different way. So one of them is Milchas Chinuch, and the other is Reb Chaim. So last week, we barely scratched the surface of Milchas Chinuch. Let's try to analyze Milchas Chinuch first, and hopefully we have time to understand Reb Chaim's approach as well. So everyone's going in the same direction. the Chassidic was a Rav in Galicia. So from Galicia to Alita, everyone's going the same approach. We try to understand the Machlekes says in the Rambam, is by Rabbi Motzei and Nitik Le'aseh not as a global issue. It's not a localized issue, it's a global issue. What is that global issue? The Chassidic had one approach, the Chaim had a different approach.
That's a tremendous solution.
That's an unbelievable. That is the greatest of the greatest solution. So they're going to have to get to that. Maybe we'll have time for that at the end of the year, as to, even if you want to call it Labanitic Le'aseh, since when are you allowed to steal in order to return? Since when are you allowed to violate Noser in order to burn the Noser? Right, that's a Chiddush or Gabi Chiddush. So comes to Birchas Chinuch and raises his very, very famous Shaila about what Tashbisu is. Tashbisu is a mitzvah Le'aseh, no question about it. It's one of the tag. This is one of the positive mitzvahs, one of the Reshma Ches, mitzvahs Zesi in the Torah. To destroy Chametz and Pesach, to get rid, to be mashvus, something wants to translate, destroy it, to be mashvus Chametz and Pesach. One can understand Tashbisu in one of two ways. There are two fundamentally different types of mitzvah essays in the Torah. There are some mitzvah essays that involve an action. You have to actively do something, you have to actively put on tefillin, you have to actively say Kriyashma is a Dibra, but for our purposes, it's an action that you have to do. You have to shake a little love, you have to eat the sukkah, you have to get a shofar. There are kumva essays that you have to do. Those are one grouping of mitzvah essay. And there's another grouping of mitzvah essay. Mitzvah essays that are fulfilled by doing absolutely nothing. But by remaining passive and not doing something wrong, that gufa is the mitzvah essay. The ultimate example of that is Shabbosan on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Besides the prohibition of doing malacha shabbos in Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah essay in the Torah to refrain from doing malacha. By sitting through shabbos in Yom Tov and not doing malacha, hini mucham zuma, it's hard to say hini mucham zuma, a mekayim mitzvah essay shall tishvash shabbos in Yom Tov. Let's say, lemoshel, being mis'an on Yom Kippur. How do I fulfill the mitzvahs? What are the tag mitzvahs? There are two mitzvahs. There's an isser to eat on Yom Kippur. There's an isser to break one's inui. And then there's a positive mitzvah called the inisimus of shoseichem. By adoption of shleimah, the inisimus of shoseichem is one of the 248 positive mitzvahs. How do I do that? I don't have to roll in snow. I don't have to get myself hot. I don't have to do anything uncomfortable. I sit back and I don't eat. I don't partake of food and drink the entire day. When you see the mitzvah of inisimus of shoseichem. There are two different kinds of mitzvahs. There's some of those mitzvahs that you actively do, those mitzvahs that you, in effect, passively fulfill. What is Tashbisu? How do you understand Tashbisu? Is Tashbisu something that requires you to actively do something? We don't know what that something is. We don't know whether that something is Diva, whether it's Machshava, whether it's Maisa. We don't know what it is, but there's some kind of a quote-unquote action, there's some kind of a positive action that the individual has to be involved in to fulfill Tashbisu, whatever that action is. Or do I say, no, we missed the boat. It's Bechlala Tashbisu. Tashbisu means that when the week of Pesach comes, each and every Jew has to be in the state of not owning chametz. Not only is there a lav if you do own chametz, but you fulfill a positive mitzvah when the chametz is mushbos from you. When the chametz, it's not my chametz. The whole week passes, and I didn't own any chametz. Moshul Mada Vedoma, 24 hours of Yom Kippur passed, and I didn't do malacha. Moshul Mada Vedoma, 24 hours of Yom Kippur passed, and I didn't partake of food. That's the mitzvah essay. So what is Tashbisu?
Didn't we say a couple of weeks ago that Tashbisu is from the Sheshas?
Oh, that's going to become a pivotal point. That the time of Tashbisu is going to be critical for the definition of Tashbisu, 100%. So that's the Shaila that Chinuch presents. Mitzvah test, he raises the Shaila on his own. What is it? What is Tashbisu? Tashbisu, action, Tashbisu is B'Shem HaTaz. Comes B'Chas Chinuch with Hanocha number two, premise number two. In order for something to constitute a Labanitic Le'aseh, there is no question, says the Mechas Chinuch, that there has to be some kind of an action involved. You would never say Labanitic Le'aseh, a Labanitic to an Aseh Shemesheva Altasa. That would be absurd. If you don't accept that premise, says the Mechas Chinuch, then it would lead to the following absurd conclusion. The guy goes Malach and Yom Tov, so we're about to give him Malchus. He says, screw him, no, don't give me Malchus. It's a Labanitic Le'aseh. What's the essay? From here on in, I'm going to be Shabbos with Malacha. So I'm gonna fulfill the essay of Shabbos. Quite honest. Guy eats on Yom Kippur. Eating on Yom Kippur is a Chiyuv Karis, but Chiyuv Karis also carries with the Malchus. The guy's about to get Malchus, amazing Shabbat, eating on Yom Kippur. No, don't give me Malchus. I'm about Hini Mucham Zuma to fulfill the mitzvah. That's a Leitz Anas. Why is that a Leitz Anas? Well, the Nitach Liyaseh means you violated the law. Okay, now do something about it. The emphasis is on do something about it. You can't have a passive fulfillment of a mitzvah's essay to get you out of being chayav malchus. That's like dvar pshutim advoi, it says the chassidim. You can't argue with that. It's a dvar poshut. So the only way we can begin to discuss whether by Rabbi Motze is a lava nitek to the essay of Tashvisu, is only if we take a stand on what that essay of Tashvisu is. If the essay of Tashvisu is the Kuvase, then we can negotiate. I'm not convinced yet, but then when we're up for discussion, up for negotiation, maybe the essay of Tashvisu can serve as a lava nitek to the essay, and it can exempt you from bonds. But if you take the other side of the Chakira, that the mitzvah of Tashvisu is not an assay in the classic sense, it's not an active assay. It's like a fasting in Yom Kippur assay. It's like a Shevi Sidlof Hashavs in Yantav assay. Then it would be absurd to discuss the assay of Tashvisu being menatek, removing the Chiyah Malchus from the lava by Rabbi Motze. Says the Mechaz Chirich, as Nirul Loimar, that is the Machlokes Tashvisu. When all the dust settles, that is what the Rishonim are arguing about. What is Tashvisu? The Machlokes, whether by Rabbi Motze, did the Kliyas, is not by Rabbi Machlokes. That's not where the machlekes lies. The nekudas of machlekes, as we say, is not doesn't lick the hilchos by Rabbi Motze. It's licked in Tashbisu. If Tashbisu is X, then the din is such and such. If Tashbisu is Y, then the din is fakir. So what is the answer to the question? Machlekes taisi rabba. But now the Mechaz Chinuch goes the furthest. Now the Mechaz Chinuch says. But now the Mechaz Chinuch goes for the punchline. He says that. So what should the din be? Should Tashbisu be Kuvyasei? Should it be Shevatase? Why should Taisa say one way? Why does Rambam say something else? So now Minchas Chinuch goes in the direction of Danny's going. Says the Minchas Chinuch, I'll challenge you. Somebody tell me, when is the Zman of Tashbisu? I want to know the Zman, when does the mitzvah begin of Tashbisu? Every mitzvah has a time to it. Some mitzvahs that is Dirios. Amunu Bashem has no time. Okay. Talmud Torah is Behemi Yom Evlat. Certain mitzvahs are all the time, but many, many mitzvahs, particularly the mitzvahs around Yom Tov, have time to them. So Tkiya Shofar. A guy blows shofar a second before Los HaShachar is not Yaitze. Blows afterwards, he is Yaitze. Guy sits in the Sukkah before Sukkah starts, he's not Yaitze. On Sukkah, he is Yaitze. Kohena B'Kohena. When did the mitzvah of Tashbisu begin? So what do we know about that? Well, we know Ach Bayem Arisha, we know the Tosh Mapeh explains Yom Arisha means Erev Yom Tov. And we also know that the word ach means achilek, splitting the day in half. So we know when the, we say colloquially, when the clock strikes 12 in the afternoon on Erev Pesach, not literally 12, but when the chatzos hayom. So whatever time chatzos hayom is, on that given day, halfway between either sunrise or sunset, whatever your numbers are, the bottom line is chatzos hayom. So when he asks me, says Mechaz Chinuch, the zman and mitzvah of Tashbisu is chatzos hayom. That's when the mitzvah is before that. Doing Tashbisa before Chatzos is like eating matzah before Pesach. It's like shaking a lulav before Sukkos. It's not this mitzvah. It's very nice. Some people may have gotten drafted today to begin to clean for Pesach, but myself included, but cleaning for Pesach today is not Tashbisa. We didn't get anywhere near the food plot. We just got all the backlog from what should have been Chanukah time. I mean, all the stuff. There's like a Hechshav mitzvah. You can't even begin to get to the Tashbisa plot until like 3 days before Pesach. You got to do all the other stuff to make sure nothing's blocking from the Tashbisa plot. So says the Mechaz Chinuch, doing Tashbisa a month before Pesach is not the table. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is after Chatzos. But I challenge you, says the Mechaz Chinuch, there are Gedolei Rishonim, the Rambam included, who say that the mitzvah of Tashbisu is before Chatzos. How do I know that? Two reasons. First of all, the Rambam says it. That's the Lashon says it. But more than that, the Rambam has to say it. What do I mean by that? Why does the Rambam have to say that? To make life a little easier. Rashi also has to say that. And he does say it. Both Rashi and the Rambam say the favorite Tashbisu is before Chatzos. Which Rashi and Rambam are referring to? Who remembers, according to Rashi and the Rambam, what is Tashbisu? What do you have to do to fulfill Tashbisu, according to Rashi and the Rambam?
Bittul.
All you have to do is Bittul. Rashi said it beferish. We take a quick look back again, little Chazar, back in the Dal of the days. So Rashi has a comment. It's in the skinny lines of Rashi. It's about 20 lines down, the skinny lines. Just about halfway down the Yomud. The first one in the line is the Bittul. So the Gemara says that bittul chametz dalam days, bittul chametz is good enough. Min haTorah dechsiv, says Rashi, dechsiv tashbisu v'lo ksiv tevaru. Rashi is being medayik in the pasuk. The word tashbisu is translated in the official Rashi translation means bittul. Hashbasa delevi hashbasa. That is hashbasa. The Torah wanted you to burn chametz when it told you to burn chametz. The Torah wanted you to throw it down to the river when it said throw it in the river. The Torah says tashbisu, that means bittul. So there's no question. Rashi says that the Rambam says the identical same. Identical thing in the Hilchos Chametz and Matzah per days, that Tashbisu is Bittul. The Gemara tells us in Pesachim Davav that Bittul Chametz cannot happen after the Chametz is Asa Banah. And when does the chametz become osmanah? At chatzos, that's based on other psukim, other sources. If you connect the dots, as Birchas Chinuch, according to Rashi and the Rambam, when do you do bittul chametz? Before chatzos. What are you doing? It's not a mitzvah yet. Frekta Birchas Chinuch, doing tashbisa before chatzos is like blowing shofar on Chodesh Elul. It's like eating matzah on Purim. It's like shaking a lulav on Rosh Hashanah. It's the wrong time. The mitzvah is nowhere ready yet. What is Rashi and Rambam talking about? Rashi says you do bittul chametz and out. It's too early. The mitzvah is chatzos. What's pshat in Rashi and Rambam? No, what's the answer, by saying? What's pshat in Rashi and Rambam?
Tashbis has to be a shev al
tasavan. Oh.
So you have to be in the tashbis.
So come to Birchas Chinuch and says, because you, our question is based on a misunderstanding of what tashbis is. You thought that tashbis was an action. There's a zman mitzvah. The zman mitzvah is the magic time of chatzos. Said Birchas Chinuch, no. The zman mitzvah is chatzos. What has to happen in chatzos? When chatzos comes, your chometz has to be mushpas from you. How do you do that? Well, you can't wake up after chatzos. It's too late. You can't do bittul after chatzos. You have to take all the preparations beforehand. It's almost like building a sukkah, so to speak. It's like building a sukkah before sukkah, so that when sukkah comes, you'll be able to be yaitzim. It's not exactly, but similar mashal. But so too, you have to do everything in your power to make sure that when the clock strikes 12 and air face in the afternoon, your chometz is mushpas mimcha. And how do you do that? Simple. Just do bittul. Bittul is fine. Bittul is the best effective way to do it. Before chatzos, shalom ha'isru. Why didn't Tosis buy into this? So Tosis shita, we spoke with us many times. Tosis shita is that bittul chometz, first of all, is not even tashbisu. Bittul is just yamafke the chometz, it's not yours. It's circumventing by Rav Matz, it's not a mitzvah bechlal. There's no mitzvah bittul chometz according to Tosis. It's just a way to avoid isurim. What is tashbisu according to Tosis? What is it? Some kind of a physical action. And when is it? So Tosis back in Abdallah says the Feirish that the physical action must take place after Chatzos. If you burn your chametz before Chatzos, you're doing nothing, says Tosis. You're not going to violate by Rav Matz. It's a nice idea. It may not be such a bad thing to do, but in terms of mitzvahs, garnish, it's nothing. I don't want to put a downer on your pace of preparations, but when you go and you burn your chametz 11 o'clock in the morning or something, according to Tosis, you're, I don't want to say wasting your time, but you are. You're accomplishing nothing. You may be wondering, so why don't I wait?
You avoid the rest.
Yeah, okay, you avoid it by Rav Matz. Right, right, very good. You could have eaten the chametz also, right? But
In order to do kind of...
You would have to wait afterwards, right. Yeah. So you're probably wondering, oh, wait, so Noam's got this new idea. Wait a second. I want to be Yitzim Mitzvahs in Eretz. I'm going to call my chometz later. So don't get such a terrible idea, because the Mishnah says, Sarfim B'tchila Shesh. So the Tanarim already told you not to wait. We have to figure out why that works, why that's so. But according to Tosfos, when you destroy your chometz pre-chatzos, that is not a mitzvah. According to Rashi, when you mafatl your chometz pre-chatzos, that's a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. It's a good idea, and the Mishnah tells you to do it. We'll have to figure out as a sugya and unravels a little bit why that's true. Why are we doing? Why are we, in a sense, not fulfilling the mitzvah? Why don't we wait till after chatzos? Wouldn't that make more sense? We have to figure out why that's true.
According to Rashi, you have to be mevatel before chatzos, and according to Tosfos, you have to be.
You have to burn it after chatzos. That's right. They're totally different extremes in the
mitzvah. Very
right. They're two totally different understandings of the mitzvah. So says it's impossible.
It's
the same mitzvah, two radically different ways of understanding what that mitzvah is. What's the point? What do they really are? What's the real issue? Says the Chassidim, the real issue is as follows. They both agree that the starting point is Chatzos. The only reason why Rashi and the Rambam tell you to do it before Chatzos is because they hold that it's Shev Al Taseh. So the mitzvah is not the bittul per se. It's bittul is done to create the state of being mushpas. Once Chatzos comes and all chametz is mushpas mimcha, then you get brownie points to Shurim. Then that's when the mitzvah kicks in. According to Tosfos, nothing happens until Chatzos. After Chatzos, you better get moving, you better get shaken, and start get your fire going, and burning your chametz to be yotzei the mitzvah deraisa of tashbisu. So radically different mitzvahs. So the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, if you think about it now, is threefold, a triple machlokes. It's a machlokes, what method do you use? Is it bittul versus physical destruction? It's a machlokes when the mitzvah is done, before Chatzos or after Chatzos. It's a machlokes conceptually. Is the mitzvah kumvaseh or the shev al taseh? And now there's a fourth part of the quadruple machlokes. What's the fourth nekuda? Based on all the above, can tashbisu constitute a mitzvah asay for the purposes of lavin et asay? Can tashbisu exempt you from malchus or not? So what's the answer by say? According to Tosfos, absolutely. It's a classic lavin et asay de maiseh. According to Rashi and the Rambam, the answer is absolutely not, because it's like doing Malach on Yom Tov, refraining from Malach on Yom Tov, it's not a lav nitikli asay. Says Bechaz Chinuch, the Rishayim al-Lashita. So, I told you, we saw this year, that Bechaz Chinuch says, don't learn in a bubble, don't learn in a little vacuum, the Machlek is Tyson the Rambam, is by Rabbi Matzei, Tchai Malchus and Ab. It's much deeper, much more profound than that. Machlekes Tais in the Rambam is a running machlekes in all the first two Prachim Pesachim about what Tashbisu is, when Tashbisu is, conceptually what Tashbisu is there a relation between Bayer Rebetze and Tashbisu to exempt from Machzana. It's one big Lishitasa that permeates 29 blad of Masechus Pesachim. That's Bechaz Chinuch's first half of a Shia Klali.
So, according to Rashi and Tosos, according to Rashi and Rambam, if you're over the Isur afterwards, and once you do Tashbisu before Chatzos,
and the Chavetz is gone. The Chavetz is Mevutal already.
It's Mevutal.
Good, so you're good.
And then you go and you're over the Isur.
What is it?
You go take Chametz. Even if you're over after, it doesn't take away the Vito he did beforehand. We're saying you're kind of the mitzvah by Sheva Al Taseh. But if you don't shave out Taseh, but if you did the Bito, you still become the mitzvah. Because you did the bit, in which you don't lose the mitzvah, the key mitzvah.
You wonder, what would have been be, let's say, a guy goes and he's revived so to four chatzos, and then at 12:09 he goes and he buys more chametz. So you want to know.
He still was Mekayim
Tashbisa. So I'm gonna turn the question around here. Okay? I'm going to say, is the mitzvah of Tashbisu that mitzvah to be mushbas from chametz? That's to be mushbas from chametz for one split second, or is that the entire week of Pesach should be a time of mushbas b'chametz?
So the parallel is to Shabbos. You can be behind the mitzvah, but you can be over the Easter at the same time.
So what would it be? Let's say a guy rests, doesn't do malacha until 3:00 in the afternoon, and now 3:00 in the afternoon he strikes a match. So was he Mekayim that Shabbos, the mitzvah of Shabbos?
Yes, when he goes up there,
what happens to Shemai?
So he goes up there, you got a credit, your debit might be worse than your credit, but you did for the chelik of the Shabbos, you were Mekayim the mitzvah.
I'm not sure he got his credit. I'm not sure that's
so you, so we're saying that if you don't fulfill the 25 hours of Shabbos.
I'm not sure.
Or the 7 days of Yom Tov.
I'm not sure what the
whole
is.
Thing is.
I'm not sure that the unit of the mitzvah of Shabbos is not on the entire day. I don't know about that. It's a very fascinating question.
It's not, you
have to start out at that point. That's the earliest time you have to worry about it.
The entire day.
So if we connect it to matzah, we say the chiv's only eating the first day. That when you eat after the first day, only a bigger mitzvah. Then why make teshbisu the whole thing?
No, no, different mitzvah. No. There, chametz and matzah connected, but not like every day. So it's a fascinating shot that Hedvig is raising, both in terms of teshbisu and in terms of. I'll throw another one at you. Yom Kippur also the same thing. A guy fasts until mincha time. Mincha gets a little bit hungry. Breaks his fast, the Isser. So what do you say about this fellow? Besides his type cards, oh dear Shlomo, did he fulfill the mitzvah's essay of Yidis Mazav Shasechem? Doesn't sound right.
It's in the era I teach the Shabbos.
That's telling me how long I'm supposed to be in the state of Inui. It's interesting because the Shilam May just. I just thought I wasn't even planning to talk about this. It got me on a
it's
roll
a
now.
Sure. How can he miss five cards? How can he say he's fulfilled?
Five cards? Is it a mitzvah also? My gut feeling is that you're right, that he's not. I think this may depend upon, believe it or not, a wild one. Machlekes and Mishnah did the Ma'amrutim bringing the rush about what is the Mechaye of Malacha on Shabbos. Very, very long to Shashayla. About when the sun sets on Shabbos, and Friday night, the sun sets, whenever Shabbos officially begins, that's the Mechaye, that's the Osir of Malacha for the next 24 hours. Is one Osir. That is the Osir. That creates a chel Hashem of an Issur Malacha. What do I say now? Shabbos is a each and every second, each and every mashu of Shabbos is a new Issur. I couldn't have done Malacha 10 minutes ago. Now I can't do Malacha today. Now I can't do Malacha 10 minutes ago. Now each one is a separate, independent entity. You try wondering to yourself, a little bit too long this for us. What's the difference? Who cares? So the Rishonim discussed the following. The Gemara says, "Befeirush of the Sechus Yevamis," that a person can become a gadol in the middle of Shabbos. You can have a child become bar mitzvah right smack in the middle of Shabbos. How does that happen? Then there's, in order to technically be bar mitzvah in the Torah, you have to have Shabbos simanim, like we spoke about last week in the Yilshia. You have to develop. So the guy, all of a sudden, he develops physically at 11 o'clock in the morning and Shabbos morning. So technically speaking, until 11 o'clock in the morning, he was a kofar. He wasn't really chayv in Shabbos bin HaTorah. From 11 o'clock on, he's not allowed to melacha. Right? That seems to be poshut. Gemara says, Nirvamus, for sure that's the din. He's not allowed to melacha. He does melacha. He's got a kofar, a skila, once he's a gadol. So the Rishonim, they ask, how did that happen exactly? If you hold that the mechayev of Shabbos starts out at the very beginning, and but he wasn't chayev in the mechayev. So what's mechayev him to keep Shabbos? 11 o'clock in the morning is not a mechayev. So the Baruch Rutenberg said, brought an unbelievable raya. Baruch Rutenberg says, you see from here, that even though at the time of the mechayev he was a katon, he could still become chayev subsequently. Even though the moment of truth was when he was a katon, he could almost walk into a pre-existing chayev, even though he was a katon in the beginning. My nafkamina. Baruch Rutenberg is a raya, a very tragic shaila. A real shayla b'isa that Rishonim was discussing. Person loses a parent. The person is under bar mitzvah when the parent passes away, and they nebuch reach bar mitzvah in the middle of shiva. So calls about the child is under bar mitzvah. They're not chayv and avelus. Mikra did when the tzchinuch and achas, different story. But they're not really sitting shiva. They don't observe avelus if they're a kofar. Now they become an avel in the. They become bar mitzvah in the middle of a shiva. What's the din? Do they have to observe Shiva now? What do you say? No. So the Maharam of Ruthenberg wanted to bring a raya from this Gemara in Masechet Yevamos and say, just as a child can somehow the chiyuv of Shabbos kicks in for the child, even though he's not chayv in mitzvahs, but somehow the chiyuv kicks in liachar hazman, so too the chiyuv of Avedos kick in liachar hazman as well. So comes the Rosh and disagrees with his Rebbe. The Talmud of Maharam Ruthenberg says, no, it's not true. Says the Rosh, Shabbos is different. Because Shabbos, each and every second is a different mechayev. Says by avelos, so the mechayev of avelos is the moment of kvura. So if a person is chayev in avelos and tar kvura, then you chayev. If you're not chayev, then you're not chayev. Finish. You can't walk into avelos. Says the Rosh, but you can walk into Shabbos. Because Shabbos, each second is a separate mechayev. So what started out as a lomdusha, very academic, with theoretical machlokes, has a real nafkamina. Anyone know the real true? Honest to goodness, nafkamina b'zman hazeh, and this machlokes. Who cares whether what kicks off Shabbos? Is it the beginning of the zman or is it each second? Nafkamina, can you fly into Shabbos? Can you fly out of Shabbos? Does that concept in halacha make any sense that a guy can roll into Shabbos in the middle of Shabbos? We can walk out of Shabbos in the middle of Shabbos. So the poskim discuss this with the utmost seriousness. A guy started Shabbos in a place where it was Shabbos, according to the whatever you think the date line means beyond the scope right now. Wherever you are, you're in a place where it's Shabbos now, and after moving for a couple of hours, you find yourself, it's like Shabbos. Not that the sun set on you, not that the stars came out on you, nothing changed in the sky. What changed is you picked up and you moved 6 hours east. You moved a couple of time zones over. Now, hocus pocus. It's not Shabbos anymore. You thought you were in the east of the world. Now you're in the west of the world. Thanks to the world being a globe, you can do that. So, but to put it into terms for those who know the risk game, you thought you were in Alaska, now you're in Irkutsk, whatever, Kamchatka, whatever it is. That's what most kids figure out, that the world is round. They learn it from the risk game. It always happens. Whenever I used to play with my kids, I always had Rachmanis on them because, they thought they had Asian, they thought they had it, and then they come from the other end of the board. They're not even massing. Pre-Columbus. Anyway, so what's the din? Or you want to have an even stranger phenomena? Shaila Lamaisa. The person called me as follows. There is, according to the opinion of the Chazon Ish, which many follow, the Chazon Ish is that the dateline ends at the coast of Asia, or in the case of Australia, at the coast of Australia. So, according to the Chazon Ish, Kozman, you're on the mainland of Australia, it's still day such and such. The minute you go off that land, you go into the ocean, you go into an island or something, or a boat, so then everything changes. You're in a different day, you just switch days. So there apparently is a coral reef, the famous coral reef in Australia or something. So a guy wanted to know, he was in Australia, and he was supposed to go on the coral reefs on Sunday. And he wanted to know, is that okay? I said to him, I'm not so sure that it's okay, because the minute you go off the coast and you're in a boat, looking over your coral reef 100 feet out or something. I don't know where the coral reefs are. He says, according to the Chazish, you just switch teams. And you may have just walked into Saturday. And now when you come back, you may walk back into Sunday. What happens? Can you walk into Shabbos, walk out of Shabbos, into Shabbos, out of Shabbos? Does that concept even make any sense in Halacha? It's a big machlek. It's not a joke. It's a serious, serious shot.
What happens to an astronaut?
Yeah, an astronaut. No, it's not a good professor or a good group.
Right.
Stick to being an allergist.
Right.
Being,
right.
So, again, so why am I telling you this whole Shibbol Torah? Why am I telling you this whole Shibbol Torah? Because Henry got me thinking a little bit. I said, maybe the answer to our question, is there an essay of Shabbos on the Shabbos in Yom Tov for the whole unit or for each second? So according to Mom Ruthenberg, it's one unit, because the Mechayev of Shabbos is the beginning of the Shabbos, and that Mechayev lasts for 24 hours. According to the Rosh, it's a beginning. Everything is new. Mechanesh v'tu v'chodem tov aseracious. Every second of Shabbos is a new Mechayev. The fact that I fulfilled the Essay of Shabbos yesterday, not yesterday, an hour ago, so maybe right now I'm not being Yotzi, so he's Yotzi, I don't know, I'm not sure. I don't know the answer.
So according to the Rosh, if you started cooking before Shabbos and it's cooking on Shabbos.
Oh, that's really a whole nonsense. We gotta keep that.
But according to what you say,
we're already in science fiction.
According to what you say, that it's one unit, they wouldn't say that you could be Machal Shabbos and then could do whatever you want the rest of the day, right? I mean, if you're
right, right, no, because it's still a lot. Everyone agrees with itself. We're being done, the guy with the Mrs. Essay, you're right.
Right.
But everyone would agree that just because you're Machal Shabbos once, so you keep Machal Shabbos again, that same Shabbos, right? Yeah. Like I in Yom Kippur. It's okay, Yom Kippur. We wouldn't say to him that, well, it's okay, keep on eating. It could be he's not going to be yotzei the essay, but it could be that the lav. A guy ate in Yom Kippur in the morning, so we would never tell him to eat again on Yom Kippur, because it's still a lav to eat in Yom Kippur. But it could be that he already blew the essay. That has nothing to gain. The only time you would potentially have such a shiloh out of it, guy ate already, we'd say, okay, forget about it, keep on eating some more. So maybe possible. I had the Shaila, Mamash Leslie. Shaila, it may be possible, last Thursday. I said, it's hard to know what day it is. All I know is my kids haven't been in school for a week. That's all I know. But last Thursday was Tainus Esther. So what if a guy wakes up Tainus Esther in the morning and he ate breakfast? He forgot it was Tainus Esther. Guess he didn't go davening that morning. I don't mean he ate breakfast at 5 in the morning, he ate breakfast at 8 o'clock in the morning. And then he's, oh my goodness, about Tainus Esther today. What do you think we tell him to do at that point?
Well, it's a
makdim. So we'd say, well, don't So maybe another svara. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that, let's say a guy totally missed the boat on Tainus Esther. He totally forgot about Tainus Esther on Thursday, and he realizes at night, Thursday night. You know what the Mishnah Berurah says?
You
should fast tomorrow. Fast on Friday. You know why?
It's a makdim.
Because half the Rishonim say that when the Tainus Esther falls out on Shabbos, it's supposed to fast on Friday. Two opinions in the Rishonim. Which is the day you're supposed to be makdim? Everyone agrees you can't fast on Shabbos. So some Rishonim say you fast on Thursday, because we don't like to have Tainus Tzipras on Friday if we can avoid it. And other Rishonim say you can't avoid it, you have to do it on Friday. So our minhag is we do it on Thursday. No question about it, because we do it on Thursday. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes that if a person ate on Thursday and then he remembers Thursday night, he should have a fast tomorrow, at least he gained something.
If it's on Tuesday, Tainus.
No, then you would have nothing to begin, because then if Tainus was really on let's say on a Monday, it can't be on Tuesday. If Tainus Esther was on a Monday, so then went, and he ate all day, when would we tell him to make it up? You have to pour him.
No, but if he ate in the morning, we tell him not to eat the rest of the day.
We tell him not to eat the rest of the day because there's an isser of eating on Yom Tainus. But over here, since in the back of our minds, we're not 100% convinced that's really a Thursday, so maybe we tell the guy, it's alright, you can eat today. So the Mishnah Berurah only said it for the guy who blew it the entire day. The Mishnah Berurah says fast the next day. But I'm asking, what about a guy who already ate a little bit during the day? So should we tell him, just keep it the rest of the day and forget it? Or would we say, no, you might as well eat, you have nothing to lose by eating for the rest of the day and fast tomorrow? Not so posh, not so similar. What was the Shiloh? Shiloh was like this. A few people call me the same exact Shiloh. I guess all these answers why Shiloh is the same one all the time. They run all these events for the public school kids, and they offer them schools, and everything. And there's a club called, if you don't serve food, you're not going to get any people. It's kind of like a shul event, you know. If you don't, there's no, say, Haraya. We would have had, imagine if we would have said we're having Dougies tonight, we would have had like a Super Bowl show with 100 people. So the quality. So they wanted to know, if we don't serve, no one's going to come. And the people are going to come, we all grumpy, you know, that's going to be happening and anything. Yeah, since it's white guys, it's cheap, they're not going to come next time. They wanted to know, can we serve food to them on Thursdays? Is that Lifnei Iver? We're giving them food to eat on the Yom Tainus. So one of my tzadim l'hokl, two, I had a couple of tzadim l'hokl. So one tzad l'hokl, I was thinking that back my mind does, this year's not so bad because all these kids had breakfast already. So they ate already. So it could be for them, maybe if they would come and ask me what should I do, I would say, eat the rest of the day, fast tomorrow. So I'm not going to fast tomorrow because they didn't call me. Maybe the event will be so inspiring that one of the chosen b'tshuva, they'll all want to fast tomorrow. But so it could be that for a person who already ate on Thursday, maybe it's not so doubtful from the one on Thursday. Maybe that was the shvacha kula. In the back of my mind, the other kula was, you always have to take into consideration, Kiruv, if you don't feed them, two things are going to happen. Number one, they won't come to the next event, which means we're. Or if you don't feed them, they'll be hungry and go out and eat a cheeseburger. They'll eat treif. So if I can, I'm doing them a taifa. I'm doing them a favor by giving them some potato chips and popcorn on a tainis. Let them eat the kosher potato chips rather than going home and eating something. Anyway, so we have different svaras. Anyway, that's not official. That's just why you know inner kulis. Okay, Rabbi said, get back to that story. So. The Chassidim created this whole Shulchan Torah for us about the Machlekes Taizen the Rambam. Everything is Lashitasam, is a conversation, Yatasa. But we have a lot of work to do for ourselves.
We've been characterizing Tosos as Shita almost like two contradictory points. We're saying that like this Man doesn't start until Chatzos, and therefore to do it on a Dereisa level, you have to do it after Chatzos. But we're also characterizing it as like a correction for being over on a lav, and we never say that that's like a lichachila mitzvah. You don't say you have to do it like hashavas kazeila.
Oh, very curious. That's part of Judah's question, but it's even more. I think you're asking that. Wait a second. We're almost looking at tashbisu with two different lenses. Usually, lav initik liyasei is a bad thing in the sense of the Torah gives a mitzvah hashem is like zela shagazel. So we would never encourage people to fulfill that mitzvah. You know, like imagine. Between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so we tried the Rambam writes, we try to grab every mitzvah we can. The Rambam writes everything, because you never know, a person's a bainan, you never know what risk is going to put you over the edge. So try to chop around every mitzvah you can. So chop around the mitzvah Heshos Ekzela. It sounds right? So there are some mitzvahs that the Torah doesn't want you to do. I always say there are three kinds of mitzvahs. There are some mitzvahs that the Torah wants you to do. There are other things that the Torah doesn't care that you do. They're called mitzvahs, not because they're a positive thing, but because they're a dinim of if and when this activity has to take place, it has to be done according to the dinim of Torah. The Moshe, one of the Tariq mitzvahs is mekach u'memker. Buying and selling is counted by the Rambam as one of the official 630 mitzvahs. So that means between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, I should go to the store and be machped to buy a bag of potatoes. And then walk out and then go buy another bag of, go buy a carton of eggs. Every year, the Hindi mucham zum l'kai mitzvah shemek chamemkra, that's not it's on us. When we quote mech chamemkra as a mitzvah, that means if and when you want to buy and sell property, so the Torah is giving you guidelines, parameters, how to do it. All the buying, if and when mitzvah, if and when vasa, how do you buy and sell? All the dinam of mechus mechira in the realm, 30 problems, mechus mechira, how do you go ahead and buy it? It doesn't mean you're supposed to. It's a mashal, a get. So, a new chumra, do you want to say, I want you to divorce their wife because they want to fulfill the mitzvah of giving a get. That's what it's on us. But a get is probably under the. Again, please don't quote me that. Again, it's probably under the list of mitzvahs that you shouldn't be doing. It means, but then you have other mitzvahs that some mitzvahs are good, some mitzvahs are neutral, and some mitzvahs are, I don't mean in a bad way, but a bad. It means mitzvah the Torah doesn't want you to do. The Torah is screaming. So why is it called a mitzvah? Because if this Peshugana guy is going to do it, so then he better do it according to the Seyyidat Dvar. So much as a mitzvah of Eishes Sifas Toyer. So a guy goes out to war, and he says, oh, I want to be Yaitzir, Mahadim Rahang, I'm going to take a Yifas Toyer. Why? To fulfill the mitzvah? The Torah screams you, you're meshugana. We'd rather you not take it. That's the worst thing to do is take Yifas Torah. Better to be Kodesh Yetzer. If and when you can't be Kodesh Yetzer, so the Torah says, Nebuch, Rachmanis, do it this way. Give me a get. A get is not a good thing. The Torah would much rather, the Torah would much rather that the couple remain married. But if it's Nebuch, it can't be. It's impossible. Killing each other, fighting, lots of representatives, whatever the reasons are, if it's just not practical, so then the Torah says it's nebuch with a heavy heart. The Torah gives us a mitzvah of giving a get. So there are mitzvahs out there that we try to do, mitzvahs we neutral about, mitzvahs we try to avoid. So here, Steve's pointing out a very powerful ha'ara about the mitzvah of tashbisu, that we're almost calling tashbisu two different things at the same time, the two sides of a mouth. On the one hand, we're saying, this is great, this is part of the Pesach experience, you know, get ready for Yom Tov and get burn your chametz, take your kids, and, you know, get the teenage fight upon you, you know, get the whole rah-rah-rah, Erev Pesach, this is what you're supposed to be doing, Erev Pesach, be your chametz. On the other hand, we're saying, be your chametz. Oh, because you forgot to get rid of your chametz, and you got pizza sitting in the freezer, and all of a sudden you walk up third day chalamayit, we tell you, never quit, get rid of the chametz. That's a negative thing. So Beheshvas HaGzela, there's no way to do Beheshvas HaGzela without first violating Los Sigzel. Whereas Tashbis was a funny thing, because it has aspects of a good positive mitzvah, and yet it has aspects of almost like a negative mitzvah as well. So you're right. Enochanami, that's what Tosfos says. But I want to analyze a little bit more about this Tosfos, because this Bechaschinich with this Rashi of this Tosfos. It comes out that the way Bechaschinich is lining up Tosfos, and the without the Bechaschinich on this part, according to Tosfos, we never hear to Tashbis. Never in our lives will we have any Yotzei Tashbisa. According to Rashi and Rambam, we get it every year. We say people chometz, we chapa rain, we get our brownie puts Tashbisa. According to Tosfos, we never once in a lifetime, I don't think anyone here ever was Yotzei Tashbisa. Why? Very simple. According to Tosfos, it's a kumbiyasei. The Chinuch says, the kumbiyasei is only after chatzos, before chatzos is garnished. Tosfos said that also. Says the Chinuch, wait a second. But the Mishnah, there's a Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim. Take a look. The Ferish of Mishnah. Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. What the Seder Hayoyim Eir Pesach looks like in terms of the hours on the clock. So Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Ochlim Kol Chametz. You can eat chametz the first 5 hours of the day. V'sar from Betchila Shesh. Then you burn chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour, which is an hour before Chatzos. So we don't do this. We follow Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer. Ochlim Kol Arba. If Yudah says you can eat chametz the first 4 hours, v'tolin kol chamesh, then the fifth hour is limbo, nishtinish there. You can't eat, but you don't burn. V'sar from betchil l'sheish, and then you burn the chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour. But I don't understand. According to Tosfos, what happened to the shmisul? The tanoim just took the mitzvah and threw it into the garbage. The Torah took the mitzvah, the halig mitzvah of tashbisu, which as we just said is such a great thing. We're trying to get our kids all excited about doing it, and we never do it. What the Chum should have told us to do is wait until after Chatzos. So this one, according to Rashi and Rambam. So I did bittul already. I was Yaitzei already. The Sarfid is only the Rabbanan. The Yaitzei bittul. But according to Tosfos, the Sarfid is a din derais, and that's Tashbisu. Sarfid b'chil l'sheish. What's for b'chil l'sheish? Say Sarfid b'chil l'sheish. Sarfid b'chil l'sheish is what it should have said. What's b'shar? So of course you have to say something very radical, but you have no choice. That the Chachamim abolished the mitzvah, the Shbisa. They told us not to do this mitzvah. Chachamim abolished it. Why did they do such a thing? Because it's a really dangerous mitzvah. Minatar, it's very dangerous. You know why it's so dangerous? On two levels. If a guy does what the Torah really said of waiting to left the Chatzos, two terrible things may happen. One is, he may not get around to doing it. And number two, something else may happen. He may end up eating the chametz, which would be an issa deraisa, once the other chatzos. So the last thing that Tanoim wanted was that there should be chametz sitting around at chatzos. Even that's what the Torah says. According to Tosfos, that's what the Torah means when you read those Tzukim Pashas HaChodesh in 2 weeks from now, Ach Mavishim Tashvish Sov Vatechem, that means, Kum Chatzos, I look at my watch, it's 12 o'clock, time to burn. Came the Chacham, Chachmei Mishnah, and said, don't do it. Right there, the changing Judaism. The Torah says to do one thing, the rabbi says to do something else. What's the answer? Sheva al tasa. When Yevama says Yesh Koach Yacham Lachadov Min Torah B'Sheva al tasa, the Chacham have the right, the authority to tell you not to do mitzvahs as long as it's passive. They can't tell you to violate a mitzvah. They can't tell you to give kippah. They can't tell you to drive in Shabbos. If all the Chacham in the whole world got together and decided it would be a tremendous benefit for the Jewish people, everyone should drive to Shul and Shabbos. And that even the Sanhedrin would say that, we would say, I'm sorry, we can't listen to you. You have no authority to do that. No rabbi in the world has authority to tell you to violate an isser in the Torah. What the Rabbanim do have a right to do, what the Beis and the Gadol does have a right to do is b'shev al tasa, tell you, we're not telling you to violate an avera, we're telling you to sit back and don't do anything. Don't do a mitzvah. They did it all the time. We know the famous examples. Shofar and Rosh Hashanah Chas B'Shabbos, Lulav first day on Shabbos, Tefillin and Yom Tovsheini, the Rashba says, not putting on tefillin, daraisat yom, we're not putting on tefillin. He says, Yesh koach b'yarachom, la padam yata b'shev al tasa. Even those who don't put on cholomoy, the last day, achmash b'pesach. So we do it. We have precedent on halacha. The chatzchinuch in the test throws his hands up and it says, it must be, this is another example, that Yesh koach b'yarachom, la padam yata b'shev al tasa. They're telling us, don't do tashbisu. They're overriding what it says in the chumash. So this is a whole new look at Erev Pesach. here a guy, standing in Gilgula Riverdale at 11 o'clock in the morning, and he's got his fire going, Mr. Brown's there, and Rabbi Huli's there, ah, I'm doing this for the last 50 years, and we're throwing our chobits in, hinni vuchum zubu l'kayim mitzvah zeseh shol tarash hashvisa agvatechem. So the Balei Torah says, tap you on the shoulder and say, relax, you're doing absolutely nothing. There's no mitzvah deraisa what you're doing. You're doing what it says in the Mishnah, sarf b'tchila sheish, whoop-de-doo. There's not a mitzvah deraisa. So wait a second, I'm going to wait till 1 o'clock, wait till after chatzais. Sorry. I tap you again in the shoulder and say, sarf b'tchila sheish, we don't want you to wait, too dangerous, too risky. Get rid of it now, go home and help your wife get ready for this.
Wait, and you can't both. If you have a big fire with a lot of chametz, and you start burning it at 11, and it burns all the way to.
Then
to
you, the when we say sorry for Tchila Sheish, that means that chametz has to reach the point of being nisraf by Tchila Sheish. We don't want that to happen. Now we know that some of those yeshivish fires, we've all seen, they've all been there. These guys, they should leave the Boy Scouts to start the fires. You know what happens? It's the same thing every year. A guy, the fire is a 2x0. They got 14 lulavim in there trying to burn. A guy comes with 16 challahs wrapped in aluminum foil. Nobody ever told him that aluminum foil doesn't burn. And the other guy comes with these bagels. You can toast the bagel for 6 months. It'll still be not burnt before Shavuos. So it's impossible. And then some other guy comes in. It's like, you guys over there, I ain't seen this. A guy comes with his lighter fluid and pours on the whole thing. And everyone starts screaming, Gavalt! You want your Yetzi Shreifa because you made it Nifsal Achilas Kalavai Day. Lighter fluid, it's not a Shreifa. And then the whole thing goes out after 3 seconds. The lighter fluid comes, the whole thing blows up for a second. And then after a second later, it's all over. And this chometz is still sitting there together with the Kashrut Pesach. Matzahs from last year that the person decided to burn. So Rabbi said, we've all been at this very, very wonderful effective beer chometzes. So you got your shift done, so it's to the sheish.
Seems like the burial chometz is almost like a ceremonial.
But that's the question. What happened? What happened to the mitzvah?
Well, Tashbisu, he doesn't have to clean up like he said.
No, according to Tashbisu, it's not the question. Tashbisu says, your wife's telling you to clean up, you're going to go home and clean up, I'm going to let you go soon. But according to Tashbisu, that's nothing. The real mitzvah is the burning you have to chatzais, but we never do it. So the Michasu says, you're right, we tapa never do it. Yeshkoch v'yacham lacha domer terer. That's right. The chomu v'oikirin.
I said
Michasu,
because we're not, if someone found chomets on Pesach, right. Still there, and also...
Yeah, but we don't want that to happen.
Right, but it's not, you're not okered the mitzvah, because it doesn't start yet. The mitzvah doesn't start until the 6th hour. So you're trying to avoid the possibility that will happen. That's not the same as on Rosh Hashanah, don't blow the shofar. That's the
Chum saying
that on the
time of the Zman of Mitzvah. Okay. So, Mechzik is not in trouble yet. He said, well, this is no different than Shofar Lulu. If Shofar Lulu, they can be Yoke, for sure they can be Yoke at this. Then he turns around with Tash. He says, there's a Taz in Ruch HaShofar. Taz in Ruch HaShofar brings the following Shema. We know we don't blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shabbos. We're afraid you may come to carry the Shofar. How could you ever blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Chayes B'chol? Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Tuesday. What right do you have to blow shofar? Since when are you allowed to blow musical instruments on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Because here you should be sound the clear. You may come to fix the instrument, you may come to touch up the shofar a little bit. So what right do you have to blow shofar? If I blow a flute on Yom Tov, it's screwed me. What right do you have to blow a shofar?
Maybe you listen based on Mikdash, didn't they?
It's the reason you used to play, that's the difference. So you used to play instruments because it's ancient for the Mikdash, so they didn't do Rabbanah, right. That's a different sugya there. So comes, the Talmud says, how come we should do away with all Tkishai for Xerish and Klishia? Says the Taz, the Chacham have a right to tell you not to do a mitzvah once in a blue moon. Or what? Once every couple of years. You can't take a Pasuk Chumash and cut it out. They have no right to do that. Even Mishav HaTaz has no right to do that. So imagine the Chum would decide, say, we don't want any Jew to ever wear tefillin again. Forever. We couldn't listen to that. They could tell you, don't wear tefillin on Yom Tov Sheni of Pesach, the Sheni of Shavuos. That they could tell you. If Chacham tell you, don't blow shofar every 5-6 years when it falls on Shabbos, that they could tell you. To not blow shofar l'gamrei, the Pesach says, Yom Tshuvi Yelachem. What do you mean? The rabbi can argue with your Rosh Hashanah. A couple of years ago, they had like a whole Yom Iyud before Rosh Hashanah. I think it was worse than Rosh Hashanah for Shabbos. NYU was open for the whole Tzibur. So they were looking for catchy titles. So I was supposed to speak about, Kishofer and Shabbos. So I didn't make the title. Somebody else made the title. I wasn't too happy with the title. The title was, do we listen to the Torah or do we listen to the rabbis? So that's a very, very provocative title. That could almost make it sound like, we know what that could mean, bizman is that, you know, so we don't want to, that's the cult of Shia. Anyway, so the answer to that question is, it depends. If the Rabbanim tell you to cut a poska out of Chumash, don't listen to them. But if they tell you it's only Sheva Tasa, once in a blue moon, then you do listen to them. So Frankly, like I said, how can we listen to them every year, year in and year out? Every year we listen to them. We should stop listening to them already. Stop burning the Chumash. Says B'chassinach, that Taz only applies in the following case. That applies only like what Noam is saying. When the Chacham are telling you, don't blow shofar, and the Torah is saying, yes, blow shofar. But Teshvisu, is the Torah screaming at you, get rid of your chametz? What if a guy decides he's gluten-free the entire year? So big deal, so he's gluten-free the whole year. It's not mechuyif to buy chametz. It's not mechuyif to burn chametz. Nobody's mechuyif to get rid of chametz. If I got rid of my chametz before, based on what's the tragedy? So comes the Chassidich and says, according to Tosfos, the Chacham are not telling you, should be mevatel Teshvisu. They're telling you to set the situation into motion that when the time the Zman Mitzvah rolls around, you won't have chametz to get rid of. That's perfectly okay. That's perfectly legit. So it comes out, according to Mechassidich, the Gevalt Yechidish, that according to Tosfos, we never yet Teshvisu. That is right. In Okinam, we definitely never yet Teshvisu. But the Rashi, we're good. Next week, we'll try to continue. We have a little bit more than Mechassidich. I started off the Shia saying we're going to do Mechassidich and Reb Chaim. We didn't even finish the Mechassidich today. Next week, we'll try to hold the book around. I want you to remember to say Kriyashmu, not in my room. Significantly before the slide.